Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
103 decibels, and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down. The kick clears the line. And Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! LA will play for the Lombardi! Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime! 26-23, it's over, and the Superdome is silent.
Brady under center, they give to Birkin, runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosie! We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to the fourth Super Bowl in 5 years! Pack your bags, start our buses, we're coming home, Boston! Oh my God, I can't believe it! It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Let me tell you something. Tom Brady is a god. He is a god.
You can't stop him. I feel pretty good about myself. I picked the Rams and the Patriots. That was pretty cool. And I hadn't even realized when I picked them that I picked two road teams. But I don't know. I just had a feeling. I don't know how you can bet or pick against Tom Brady ever. And I'm certainly going to pick the Patriots to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. Now, he doesn't, you know, come through all the time, but it's really absurd. Alfred, what do you think?
I thought it was a good brand of football yesterday that was played, and one that can be appreciated by everybody out there that had time to watch the games, because both games went to overtime to decide who would go to the Super Bowl. It felt like both teams were evenly matched. And I do believe the teams that were best coached won yesterday.
Why? I mean, they're both overtime games. They both were coached pretty well. I mean, obviously the NFL overtime rule is terrible. I mean, and it certainly worked in the Broncos' favor in the past. I understand that. But it is ridiculous that in an overtime, the offense, you know, both offenses don't get a shot with the ball in their hands. I really have no idea how they came up with, if you score a touchdown, the game's over. You know, why not just kick it off and give the other team, now you got to stop them. I've never understood it. It makes no sense to me. So
this is pro football, and what you're looking for is college football.
No, I didn't even say that. I mean, I do like the overtime system better.
Well, the only way that you have a reference point to that is for the college game.
It just doesn't make any sense, that's all. I don't know how they came up with it in the first place. Okay, it's going to go back and forth, but yeah, if you win the coin toss,
it's just that easy. You win the coin toss, you kick a field goal, that you win the game. That used to be the rule. Now the rule is, if you win the coin toss, you get the football, you score a touchdown, you win the game.
Yeah,
I think it's more than fair.
Oh gosh, no! It's silly, but whatever. That's what we got. Like I said, worked to the Broncos' favor, and I just think it's a shame that Patrick Mahomes didn't get a shot to lead. I mean, I don't know, man. Whatever. The Patriots win again. They won.
Patriots win, and Patrick Mahomes. I felt like the last team who got the ball was going to win. I really did, but
yeah, and that was decided.
The things that happened in that game in the Patriots game.
Yep.
The fact that they took away two of the league's premier pass rushers by making sure that they wouldn't ruin the game plan. I thought that was excellent. I thought that was really brilliant. I've seen that done to Von Miller on several occasions. I've seen it done to DeMarcus Ware, but with Wade Phillips, if you did those kind of things, then he would bring inside blitz pressure and make life miserable for you. So you couldn't really do that against Wade, because if you block with seven guys with Wade, he'd bring seven guys. You know, if you block with eight, he'd bring eight guys. Whereas he would bring, what Wade considers a blitz is guaranteeing that you're going to get a free runner. So he just calls it pressures, right? There's always a free guy in the middle of the field to help on the long ball or to help with in the run game just in case a guy breaks free. Anything other than that is just the pressure. If they block with seven, bring seven.
Adam Schefter joins us, our ESPN NFL insider, presented by ROX Heating and Air, ROX, ROX Heating and Air. And everybody's talking about the non-call. Adam, what's the feeling about the penalty that should have been called on a couple of different levels and never was? The problem with the NFL not saying anything is that Sean Payton is saying the NFL said something, you know?
And a short time ago, the Saints owner, Gail Benson, just released a statement saying that we have taken active steps to voice our displeasure to the NFL to make sure that nothing like this happens again. So we've heard from Sean Payton. We've heard from Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints. We haven't heard anything from the NFL. But as I was saying, what is the NFL going to say other than we messed up the call?
I don't know.
We blew it.
Right.
We blew it. Now, what I started to say to you was the Saints completed that long pass to Ted Ginn.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams had one timeout. It was a minute and 53 to go. If the Saints had run three straight run plays, which is easy to say now, but as soon as they threw on first down to Michael Thomas, an incomplete pass, I said, what are you doing?
Right.
They could have basically run the first play, run play.
Right.
It would have been a minute and 50 seconds left.
Right. Timeout.
And then timeout, run two more plays, and if Will Lutz can kick roughly a 40-yard field goal,
you win.
The Rams get the ball back, no timeouts in about 20 seconds
left. Right. I was breaking that down as well. Like, what if they did call that penalty? And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, the Rams have one timeout, so you call that minute 46. You take a knee. Now we're down to 40, down minute six. And now we're down to one more play. We're down to 26 seconds. And, boy, it's an easy field goal. But you're right, Adam. They could have. you are absolutely right. There's a lot of other things they could have done before that.
And then in overtime, Patriots got the ball in overtime, went down the field on the road.
Yep.
Scored. Chiefs never got the ball back. Saints won the toss in overtime, got the ball,
Through
an INT. Now, look, that does not change that it was the most egregious call that we've seen in a long time, maybe ever in postseason play. Horrendous call.
Right.
All I'm saying is the Saints did not do themselves any favors.
Let me ask you this, Adam. When they go to those rules committee this offseason, why not? Well, I've been on this trip for everything to be reviewed. Why not have a coaching review on all of these penalties that could change the game? A 10-yard holding penalty when there was no holding, or a pass interference down the field, or for this matter, illegal hit to the quarterback's head yesterday that happened with Tom Brady. Those things didn't happen, and they could have cost they could have cost each one of those teams the game because of those calls. Why not have them all reviewed if it's a penalty?
I have spoken to the competition committee every year about this, and I'm not alone. I have never understood. They don't want to delay the game anymore. They don't want to open Pandora's box. But the way that I view it is, and again, I stand to be corrected. Let anybody from the competition committee, John Elway included, tell me how I'm wrong. A coach gets three challenges during the game. If he wants to challenge an official's call, why should he not be allowed to do that?
I don't know. Why not?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
But now here's the interesting one. Yesterday, Sean Payton would not have been able to challenge it because what are you challenging? There was no call.
Right. You'd have to establish it would have to be reviewed from New York or something, Adam. It'd have to come down from high up on Mount Olympus. Maybe there's a 2-minute rule where things can be reviewed by New York. Kind of baseball has that a little bit. Like, you don't have to use a challenge past the eighth inning or something like that. I don't know. I'm spitballing here. I don't have an answer. But it's just a shame that such a great game can come down to such an egregious mistake.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's very unfortunate. Something the Saints will live with the rest of their lives. again, they didn't deserve that. They deserve better. But as I was saying, they had their opportunity
to
take care of business, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do either. So the officials messed up, Saints messed up, everybody messed up, and the Rams are going to the Super Bowl.
And then you look at the other game, and you see what's happening over there with the Patriots and Tom Brady. You know, in my own circle of friends, I've personally called Tom Brady the greatest football player in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Can you think of anybody better?
No.
Alfred.
Yes.
He's going to his ninth Super Bowl.
It's crazy.
Okay? As a general rule, if you play in 9 Super Bowls, you are the greatest player of all time.
I'm not talking about just quarterback. I'm just saying he's the greatest player of all time.
Listen, if we're going to have that argument, who are you going to have in that conversation? You're going to have Jim Brown,
mm-hmm.
Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana,
right.
John Elway. Like, I mean, you know, you come up with a lot of great all-time players.
Right.
I don't think there's anybody that I would take ahead of Tom Brady. Anyway, the guy, listen, my wife and daughter don't watch a lot of football. They called me up after the game last night. They said, does he always do this? And I said, yes, he does.
As a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact.
He only plays great when the game requires for him to play great, man. And I think that's a mark of a great player.
You know, Adam, we have had some interesting ups and downs with the NFL and PR, but we are seeing that the ratings have never been better, and that the country was absolutely just fixed on yesterday in 2 incredible games. Is it fair to say whatever bumps in the road the NFL may have had are over? And the despite because of the controversy, everybody's back in.
Well, it also had something to do with the fact that on the East Coast and the Midwest, you got this incredible storm, so nobody can go outside.
Mm.
But saying that, when you get a conference championship Sunday with double overtime games, which has never happened before, where you have the first game ended in controversy, the second game ending in overtime and drama, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Drew Brees, the whole thing, I mean, if the ratings were off, I would say that the league's got a real problem. Like, I would expect them to be through the roof ratings, and they were. And there's been a lot of the issues that have plagued the league in other years, Anthem, that's gone away this year. You haven't heard much about it, and I think the league has intentionally tried to quiet that. Roger Goodell, a lightning rod for criticism, has not been as visible.
Right.
It kind of not made him very visible. You'll notice you don't hear from him. You don't see him very much.
Right.
I think that's the way the league wants that right now. So there hasn't been an Anthem issue. There hasn't been a commissioner issue.
Hmm.
There hasn't been a controversy issue. And so this is a season where, hey, let's just pump up the offense, get huge numbers going, fantasy football extravaganza, and then you mix in some bad weather and you get what you get yesterday, which is huge ratings, which I'm not surprised to see.
Okay, great stuff, Adam. And meanwhile, the Broncos, it seems like there's 10 million scenarios for the quarterback situation here in Denver. So I won't even go down that road, except let me just ask you this. What is your vibe on Nick Foles and Joe Flacco?
I don't expect either one of them to be with their respective teams right now. I think Joe Flacco will be moving on from Baltimore. I think Nick Foles will be moving on from Philadelphia. We'll see where they wind up. We'll see what teams decide that they like them and what they're willing to give up to get them. But I think those two quarterbacks will be on the move. I don't know if that answers your question. I don't have a landing spot for them, D-Mac. But, again, I'd be surprised if either of those quarterbacks is back with his current team right now.
Okay, great stuff. Adam, we'll see you down in Atlanta next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, Adam Schefter. What can they do, Al, with challenging non-calls? I mean, what
call
can
them. Call them. And,
well, I mean,
and
how? So it doesn't get called, so now what? Like,
the thing is to make the referees proactive, call it, and if you want to review it, especially something like that, then have it reviewed because they call them in college. They call anything that's remotely close, and then they make a determination on whether or not the guy's going to get kicked out the
game. You know, in college, you are completely right. They won't even call a flag necessarily. They'll call for a review on helmet to helmet. And then, or do they call a flag first, Al, on that?
They call the flag first.
Because I've seen it both ways in college.
They're not going to miss it in college. They're not going to miss it in college. For
so
some
in
reason,
college, it's anything resembling helmet to helmet gets a flag,
it's
and
called.
Then they review it.
That's right.
And if it's not helmet to helmet, it's not a penalty.
Then the guy, if it's not helmet to helmet, the guy gets to stay in the game. If it's helmet to helmet, the guy is ejected.
Right, right. Boy, that would be a simpler way to do it, right? And then you can throw a flag on practically anything that you even you think is helmet to helmet. And if that was the case, the referee would certainly have thrown the flag yesterday, right? Because there was enough to look like helmet to helmet. And then they can review the penalty one way or the other. Yeah, there you go. That's a pretty simple fix right there, isn't it? Review penalty, specifically helmet to helmet. Can college review anything else? I don't think so. I think they only review the helmet to helmet.
Football in general needs some rule changes that's going to make sense to all that are viewing the game, because there's just way too many missed calls. You know, like yesterday on that Edelman play, the ball looked like it hit Julian Edelman. If it wasn't for all of the cameras and importance of that game, and we didn't have all the angles that we had yesterday, that would have certainly been the Kansas City Chiefs ball. But because it was the NFC and the AFC championship game.
30 cameras on it.
30 cameras, bro.
I mean, they got it right. He didn't touch it, but I know what you're saying.
They got it right, but I mean, in a normal game, in a normal game, it may be only 7 cameras.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But that normal game could lead to something that puts you in a situation to be in that game. Okay.
Yeah. Review. You've got to have some sort of review on penalties. You've got to allow the referees probably to call the flag. I just wonder if there should be something that allows New York. Let's just say they're looking at all the reviews in New York. If there should be something in New York that allows them to overturn what's happening on the field if it's just blatantly obvious, so that a mistake doesn't happen. And perhaps, you know, that does exist in baseball, where they'll just review things, anything, in the final couple innings of the game without the managers having to review it. They'll just review everything to make sure they get it right. So I don't know why they couldn't do that in football. But like Adam pointed out, and I thought the same thing, like there were a lot of other things the Saints could have done, Al, to win that game. You know, we all like to point at the Raheem Moore play, like, oh, that lost the Broncos the game.
It did.
Well, the truth is...
That's the truth.
The Broncos, first of all, let's start here. The Broncos had the ball with 30 seconds to go and decided to take a knee.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have been in that situation.
I gotcha.
Just like D. Ford shouldn't have lined up outsides. Now, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but like, why didn't John Fox and the Broncos make an attempt to get in field goal range, just like we saw the Chiefs do against the Patriots with 39 seconds to go?
They were tied. But we'll talk about that.
Well, I don't know. You're trying to win the game.
Yeah, could you lose it at the same time with a quarterback whose arm strength isn't the same as Patrick Mahomes?
And then the Broncos, well, I guess that's the risk-reward you got to take. That game against the Ravens went to double overtime. Double overtime. I think people tend to forget that. The Broncos had their chances. Well, that was kind of the way yesterday was. I mean, the penalty went against the Saints. I mean, the Rams still had to kick a 48-yard field goal. And
then, longer than that.
Well, the first one was 48 yards that tied it.
Oh, you're talking about the goal to tie it.
Yeah. And then they got the ball in overtime, and then an interception on second down, Al. I mean, how many times have we talked about that? Like, what are you doing? An interception on second. And I understand, you know, Drew Brees got his arm hit and the whole thing.
Dante Fowler.
Just take the sack, man. I mean, live for another day.
He didn't know the sack was going to happen.
Okay.
He was stepping into a throw.
All right. I'm just saying they had their chances. Though,
by the way, rockstar status on the games. Rockstar status on ratings as well.
The fourth quarter of that Patriots-Chiefs game was just a heavyweight battle, man. It was so exciting. I really found myself rooting for both teams every time they had the ball. I really did. I was like, wow, can Brady do it? Oh, can Patrick Mahomes respond? Can they do this? And can they score? And I just felt a little unsatisfied, only because Patrick Mahomes didn't get the ball in his hands again in overtime. But I know, I get it. That's the rule. So you got to play amongst the rules that you have. But it was a blast, man. How often did you think, wow, where are the Broncos compared to these teams?
Where are the Broncos compared to these teams?
Yeah. Because we saw...
They're only a quarterback off.
We saw... What? Really?
Yeah, I guess if you had Tom Brady, because, you know, Tom Brady is the reason that the Patriots win, and I can say that Jared Goff is the reason that the Rams win.
Mm.
So we're only a quarterback off. How can we fix that?
That's how important the quarterback is, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Let's not play around.
It's a big one, though.
Let's get to it.
So if we had a quarterback like Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or Drew Brees, we would be in Super Bowl contention.
Oh, yeah, every year. I mean, Phillip Rivers was, too, until he got beat by Tom Brady. But that's the deal.
All right,
to have
let me ask
a
you
chance
this.
To get to the Super Bowl until Tom Brady retires, you're going to have to get home field advantage and make Tom Brady come to you.
That didn't even work.
Because in New England, he's almost unbeatable.
I think Tom Brady's got one more year after this, and then I think they move on one way or the other.
You know, just don't count him out.
I just think the 20...
I just need you to remember the way that he plays.
Oh, I'll never count out Tom Brady, dude.
You know, but I need you to remember the way that he plays in the biggest moments so you'll know what greatness looks like. So when you see it, you can recognize it. Because everything else doesn't matter.
I mean, multiple conversions on third down in overtime.
Third down is 7+.
Just amazing.
Third down and 8+.
What, 3 different conversions, I think?
Dude, I mean, those guys are making... Those guys, like Edelman on a catch and Hogan on a catch, one-handed grab by Hogan. Are
what
you kidding me?
Great catch, yep.
Are you kidding me? Stick your paw. I mean, the coverage was excellent.
That was ruled incomplete, though, right?
No.
Wait, which one was
ruled
incomplete?
To him, third down
the one
10.
On the sideline. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, they're great. And, I mean, who is... Who is Chris Hogan? Who is Julian Edelman?
Chris Hogan is a guy. Edelman is special. Edelman is special. Chris Hogan is a guy.
I mean, I'm not trying to rip on my guy, Brand Stokely, because I love Stoke, but...
No.
Do you think Edelman's better than Stokely?
Edelman is the real deal. Hogan is a guy.
Do you think Edelman's better than Stokely? I think if Brandon Stokely, in the prime of his career, would be playing just like Julian Edelman...
I think Stokely
and Edelman are both above average. Don't get me wrong. They're both above average. But, you know, they're not. It's not Randy Moss out there.
Oh, no. I think you're looking at something totally different. The middle of the field versus the outside of the field, two different games.
The funny part is how much they get paid. You want to see something funny? Look how much Chris Hogan and Edelman get paid compared to Emmanuel Sanders. Check that out sometime. I think Emmanuel may make 3 times as much money as Edelman. 3 times.
Edelman?
I think so.
Edelman is working on a 2-year contract for $5.5 million per year. $11 million for 2 years. $7 million guaranteed.
What a bargain, huh?
Oh my goodness.
Lord.
That's the best deal since the Louisiana Purchase.
And on that note, we got plenty of time to mash it up. The Predators, Big Sexy's team, is leading the Avs right now, 3-1 to Pepsi. We had an awesome Saturday, by the way, with the Avs crushing the Kings 7-1, and then the Nuggets just absolutely getting another huge blowout victory in the same day. Oh my Lord, Saturday at Pepsi was just unbelievable. So hopefully the Avs can pull out a little bit of a mini miracle here. There's 6 minutes to go. We'll follow that big three. We got that coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Well, let's start let's start with the game and what everybody's talking about. And that is the non-call in the Saints-Rams game. So I've had a couple of suggestions on the RamosLaw.com text line and on Twitter, and the suggestions are simple. The NFL needs to pass a rule where the booth can make a call if the referees don't do so on the field. I like your idea too, Al, of the college rule where you can review a helmet-to-helmet instance, and if it's not, then no big deal. If it is, then a penalty, and maybe perhaps the player is ejected. Either way, you can review things. If this was a college game, there was more likelihood that they would have got this call right. So, let me just start with the booth review concept, that the booth can call out for something one way or the other. Perhaps it's to take a flag away. Would you be a fan of the booth being able to overturn or place a call into the play of the game and take it out of the referee's hands?
I would be more than happy with that because there's going to come a time when technology is going to be here to help us than any time in our past. And if we have a way for things to be made right, then just make them right so that we don't have to go back and talk about these a day or two or a month or years later. Why not just take care of it right now? If somebody else has eyes on it, why not just go ahead and, you know, call what's right?
By the way, I don't think, and I heard the Zoeckley show with John Davis talk about this, like full-time referees. Well, okay, maybe, but full-time referees could still make mistakes. You know, there's nothing about being a full-time referee that would exempt you. There were great referees on this game. You don't get to the NFC Championship game unless you're a great referee. So it just proved that mistakes can still happen even at the highest levels. So to your point, if there's a better way to do it, why not do it and get it right, especially in such big times? So let's hope we both agree to it. The whole country will agree to it. We'll see where the NFL goes with it. Bongos.
Three!
Yesterday, what we saw out of the Patriots was pure brilliance out of, really out of Tom Brady. And what we've seen is a guy who is just used to playing football, D-Mac, and playing football at a high level. He's played 39 postseason games. Come on, bro. I mean, come on. The guy's played 39 playoff games, and he's 29-10 in those playoff games. 10,000 yards, 73 touchdowns, 33 interceptions. Come on, man. For a guy who has been in the NFL for as long as he has, just to hear that somebody's played 39 playoff games, doesn't that almost scream greatness?
Tom Brady is...
Without the championships, 39 playoff games.
Oh, I don't even know how you get to 39 playoff games in a career in football without some championships mixed in there. So,
right.
Unless you just lose all of them, I suppose, which he hasn't. No, Tom Brady's the... He's already been the greatest of all time. His legend got added to... The thing that ticks me off are people that I guess you just hate the Patriots, which is fine. And I guess if you just hate the Patriots, then you just make dumb arguments based on that. Like, oh, it's all luck. All the calls always go his way. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you really look at the clutch moments, Tom Brady comes through 70% of the time, 65% of the time. I mean, his margin of coming through in clutch moments or leading his team far outweighs what luck would bring you. Luck might bring you a coin flip chance, right? Then something else has to happen over and over and over again. Tom Brady's the best, period.
Hey, Adam Schefter, one of his tweets out there. If Tom Brady was playing a full season, the last 16 playoff games, he would have a 12-4 record, 5,284 yards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
32 touchdowns and 14 interceptions.
That's awesome. What a great breakdown by Adam. That's awesome.
That's who he is.
Bongos.
Three!
Okay, Al, if the goal is to get a quarterback like one of the four, they were all great. They were all great. What's the quickest path for the Broncos to do so?
Draft him.
Okay. That's the quickest path. Not free agency, draft him.
You say to get one of those guys, like we saw one of those four guys yesterday?
Fastest path to get one of those guys, draft.
Draft.
Not free agency.
No, draft.
Not trade. Draft.
We can't get a top four quarterback by no other means than drafting him.
Because at the end of the day, you have to find him and discover him and train him and all that sort of stuff, right?
That's right.
And the Saints got a little lucky with Drew Brees because he was hurt at the time and they moved on to Phillip Rivers, that sort of thing. The Chargers did, rather. So, you got to draft him or get lucky, I guess, like the Saints did. Bongos.
Three!
D-Mac, the Bears have sent a Pro Bowl quarterback for the first time since 1985. Mitchell Trubisky was voted in to the Pro Bowl as an alternate, but this is the first time since 1985. That is a 33-year drought of sending a guy to the Pro Bowl at quarterback. Could we ever be in that situation?
I don't, not having a good quarterback? What are you saying? I'm a little confused.
A quarterback that hadn't been to the Pro Bowl in 33 years?
No. Could we ever be in that situation? No.
Could we ever be in that situation? It's been 3 years now.
Yeah, no, I don't see us going another 30 years without a Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, that's a weird question because Trevor Siemian was a Pro Bowl quarterback, Al.
Well, then we'll stop it from Trevor Siemian in his rookie year.
I mean, all you have to be is as good as Trevor Siemian and you could make the Pro Bowl.
Well, how come the Bears haven't had a quarterback in 33 years to make it?
It's remarkable. I can't
explain
it.
Don't think it can't happen. I'm just saying that, you know, it's...
Well, you asked me what I thought. I don't think it's possible. I mean, but I can't explain why the Bears have been so unlucky. But again, I go back to the Glennon-Trubisky doctrine, and if you need a quarterback, the Bears move from 3 Al to 2. See what I'm saying? Like, you can say whatever you want about Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears believed in him. And that's all that needs to happen. And as soon as you believe in somebody, you move up to get him, because you don't want somebody to get ahead of you. You said you've got to develop him, which you're right about. And then you've got to play him. The end. And that's why the Chiefs got rid of Alex Smith after a year. They moved up from the late 20s to 10 to get Mahomes. That's why the Browns were not going to move off of number one to get Baker Mayfield because they believed in him. So again, this goes to the horrible strategy last year in the draft when the Broncos said after the draft they liked Sam Darnold. I mean, stunning. Like,
by the way,
liked him, why didn't you go get him?
By the way, the Dolphins haven't had a Pro Bowl quarterback in 23 years. And it's been 22 years for the Ravens since they've had a quarterback make it to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but they have a quarterback that won a Super Bowl during that time and threw 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the playoffs.
I'm just letting you know the stats. 22 years for the Ravens.
I don't care. I don't care about those numbers.
23 years for the Dolphins.
Well,
quarterback play in those.
I don't care then about that stat because that stat ignores the fact that a quarterback went and won the Super Bowl for you, who cares?
I care, because now that same quarterback, if you had such a high regard for just winning a Super Bowl, then how can Joe Flacco ever be talking about being replaced?
Because guys get old, and their skills diminish. It happens. Okay. Okay. Happens to all of us. Bongos.
Three!
In terms of what we saw yesterday, we got to put it in some context. Well, ratings-wise, one of the greatest championship Sundays ever. And, of course, where do the Broncos fit? And where does this put Tom Brady? This is The Drive on The Fan.
Next week, we'll be broadcasting from Radio Row in Atlanta, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Now, here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, Omar, you're on The Fan. What's going on?
Hey, a lot of stuff, man. First off, what's up, Big Al?
Hey.
Secondly, that Tom Brady comment, I don't believe he's the greatest, man. You got to look at all the problems he's had to get to the Super Bowls that he's been in.
Nine of them?
Balls, you know, such things like that.
Give me a better player.
You guys got to look at
any player that's better.
I mean, I'm not debating what Al is saying, but at the same time.
Well, I think you are.
No, not really.
I think so.
Not really. I mean, as far as the GOAT, he's not the GOAT.
Mm.
Not the GOAT to me.
Who's the GOAT? Who's the GOAT?
It's not him.
No.
I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about quarterback,
give me a better football player in the history of college or the NFL.
I got to go with either like Barry Sanders or Walter Payton, man. Something like that.
They were terrible quarterbacks. But, all right, thanks, Omar. Yeah, well, that's Al.
Listen, bro.
We're all listening. Omar, we're listening. We're paying attention. You can't name a better quarterback than Tom Brady, right?
A better quarterback than Tom Brady?
Yeah. Who?
We could look at Montana, Steve Young.
Based on what? Why are they better?
All players that didn't have any asterisk behind their name.
Asterisk? What asterisk does Tom Brady have?
Are you serious?
Deflategate? That's it? 4-game suspension? Seriously? Wow. That's the asterisk?
Okay, apparently there's none.
No, there is none. He should have got like a $25,000 fine.
Yeah, that
should have
been. That should have been like at worst, you know, $15,000. It's like saying, you know, your shirt was untucked.
Exactly. Not a big
go.
I mean, there was a tad of a conspiracy because it was involving other people
in
it.
That was dumb. That was the worst penalty. That was the worst 4-game penalty that the NFL has levied against somebody.
It was ridiculous.
That I've ever seen.
Right.
Because he wanted the ball to be softer, you suspend him for 4 games? You know why he was suspended for 4 games? Because he lied. And there was a big cover-up, and it was this, and it was that.
Well, that is true. That all did happen. There was a big cover-up, and he did lie.
The simple fact that he wanted the ball softer, man, come on, man. You can't tell me that's worth 4 games.
That was ballsy.
Omar,
Tom Brady,
my man,
is the greatest
Omar.
Football player in the history of the sport, man.
Yeah,
period.
It's clear.
You know, so
there's no debate about it.
You know, you can't talk me off of that.
What is this promo that we're running as a station? We're all supposed to be rooting for the Rams. Why are we all rooting for the Rams? Because of C.J. Anderson and Aqib Talib and Wade Phillips? Really? I'm not rooting for the Rams.
I'm not rooting for either one of those teams. My team is the Broncos.
I got you, pal. They're not playing them.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, how can I be rooting for one team or the other? I just wanted to see a great game yesterday from both teams. And I got a great game in the first game. I got a great game in the second game. I was happy. I was fulfilled as a football player.
Should we root for the Rams because of Stan Kroenke?
Huh?
Should we root for the Rams because of Stan Kroenke?
Man, they're moving into a brand new stadium next year. Everything going to be, it's going to be off the chain for them. And the Super Bowl is in Atlanta, in L.A. next year, right?
I mean, Kroenke is an underdog like nobody else. I mean, that is true. I think you should just root for a great Super Bowl, which I think we'll inevitably get, but I'm not sure how the Patriots lose this one. They just find a way.
Miami next year, and then it goes to L.A.?
I just don't know how you can pick a team led by Tom Brady over a team led by Jared Goff. The same let I don't know how you could possibly pick a team led by Nick Foles over a team led by Tom Brady. Now, Nick Foles won, and he played unbelievable. But how in your right mind can you pick that team over the Patriots? How could you pick Russell Wilson to beat Peyton Manning? I mean, it definitely happened, no doubt about it, obviously. But I just don't know how you can favor a team led by a young guy over Tom Brady. I just don't know how you can do it. But that makes the game exciting, that things
Patrick
happen
Mahomes
that you don't
missed
expect.
So many throws yesterday. He missed so many throws. He missed so many crossing routes. He missed so many easy passes to make the game easy for him because his eyes were down the field. But still, the guy put up 31 points in the second half.
Yeah. Who cares about the first half? I think one of the greatest cliches that's not true is the whole, we got to play, you know, great for 60 minutes. You got to hang in there. And then you got to play great for a short period of time. And, you know, if it comes down to the fourth quarter, then you got to make great plays when it matters most. You can have a lousy first half and have, you know, be fine. As Patrick Mahomes proved. Doesn't mean you're bad or you're not good or you're whatever. What matters is what can you do when it matters the most. Talk about clutch, by the way, and we've seen so many like missed kicks. How about Greg Zuerlein, for example, from the Rams? How about that dude, Al? You know, there were a lot of really cool moments out there. How about the Patriots converting on third down left and right?
How about Tom Heckert, a punter, throwing a first down on a comeback?
How about it? Well, he's... We know Hecker can do that, but, well, but, just still, saying, but I mean, still, he just, did it.
Dude, this was the NFC Championship game, dog.
I gotcha.
I mean he threw a dime.
Dude, the guy's sick. There were many great moments.
The Rams got some moxie to him, man. The Rams have some moxie to him.
Well, they have such an incredible defensive front that it makes me wonder how anybody... Yeah, they're great. They're just great. You got great teams playing in the Super Bowl. They both deserve to be there. It's awesome.
Just great games in general, man.
Great
just
games.
Great games in general. There's nothing to be upset about if your team wasn't in it. I don't know how you can root against either one of these teams. It's not like they did something wrong.
By the way, some people reached out and said, oh, why didn't the Chiefs go for it with like 11 seconds? And it's because, and they did a good job on the broadcast, they showed the Patriots dropped back into a ridiculous zone.
A shell.
Yeah, and if they completed a pass in bounds, the time would have just ran off the clock.
No,
and
it wouldn't have. They would have had time to spike it, but it would have been.
No, there's only 11 seconds left. No, it would have been too risky.
Listen,
11
listen,
seconds, dude. You catch listen, that ball in bounds, there is
listen,
no
dude,
way
listen,
you're going to get
to
spike it.
I think that was 17 seconds
11
before
seconds.
The 11 seconds.
11 seconds were left on that
line
when they decided
about
to
the
kick.
11 seconds. I'm talking about, I think it was 16 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, they tried. They threw it like through the end zone. They tested the Patriots.
No. What I'm saying is if they would have ran like a Texas route, anything that opens up the field, they could have got that ball back down and on the ground with like 8 seconds left. They would have had a ball at the 15-yard line with like 7 or 8 seconds. That somebody, whoever texts that in, you're right. But you would have had to go in and saying, we're going to throw this route if it's wide open, get down,
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about when they had 11 seconds.
I'm not talking about 11. 11
well,
was
I am.
Done.
I'm talking about 11 seconds.
11 is done. Yeah, 11 is done. 16 seconds, that's two plays, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 11 seconds to go. They threw a ball. They tested the Patriots' defense. The Patriots played the right defense. And the Chiefs really had no choice but to kick a field goal at that point.
Went in 11 seconds, but there was a play right before that, D-Mac, with 16 is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. They threw.
The 16-second play was more important because that way you get the ball in the middle of the field and you can run it for, call it 12 yards, spike it. You got time for
one. What advantage does that make? You're already in field goal position.
I'm not talking about for field goal. If you're there, you got time. You know, a standard play in the NFL, if you're just throwing a three-step drop, it could be the ball could be gone and decided in 5 seconds.
I'll play your games. It's 16 seconds to go, and I throw the ball at the 5-yard line. Okay? How much time?
No, you throw the ball at today, like 11-yard line.
Oh, my Lord. You're killing me. I throw the ball in bounds.
Every second that you run down the field is a second that comes off the clock that is a second that. So I'm telling you, there's a metrics to it.
So you think the Kansas City Chiefs made a mistake?
Oh, I think they made one, yes.
All right, so it's 16 seconds to go. You throw the ball to the 11-yard line, and you're tackled. You have no timeouts left.
You spike it.
Okay, so you spike it, and now how much time's left?
You got 9 seconds left.
So you just spent, from the time you snapped the ball till you caught it in bounds, till you were tackled, till you lined up and spiked it, you think you would only spend 7 seconds on that?
I'm saying get up, spike the ball. Yes, you got time.
You think there would only be 7 seconds of time that would go between hiking the ball?
9 seconds to run that play, yes.
Okay, so
and you
now,
have time for
now,
one play
now you're
before
at
the field goal.
Now you're at the 11-yard line, and in your world, because only 7 seconds went off, which is amazing, but in your world, there's 9 seconds to go, and you're now from the 11-yard line.
Call it 8 seconds.
And so now what? Now you go for the end zone?
Yeah, back shoulder fade.
The Patriots are going to be in the same exact defense they were before.
Well, then now you have slants, you have back shoulder fades, you have everything. 11-yard line, that's a three-step drop there.
All right, so you think Andy Reid made a terrible decision then?
I think that it was just a soft way. You know, it's like us in our 30-second rule. Hey, man, when the Kansas City Chiefs got the football back with 39 seconds, look how easy they made that look.
All right, I think the Chiefs did the right thing. You think they made a mistake. Football at 4, we got that coming up next.